This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Sometimes Sisters by Carolyn Brown, performed by Brittany Presley. Chapter 1.
Promise me,
Annie whispered.
I'll promise.
Zedekiah nodded with tears in his eyes.
You'll bring them all home where they belong.
She reached up and touched his cheek.
They need to heal.
I'll get them here. You rest now.
Zed cradled her frail body in his arms. She'd been in and out of consciousness for 2 days, and each time she awoke, she made him promise all over again that he'd bring her granddaughters home to the lake resort. Suddenly, her eyes opened wide, and she cupped his cheeks in her hands.
You.
Tears flowed down her face.
I know, Annie.
His salty tears mingled with hers when their cheeks touched.
I've loved you since we were kids.
She inhaled deeply and let it out slowly.
Oh, Annie,
he started to say, but then he realized that she'd taken her last breath. Time stopped as he hugged her closer to his chest. One heart beat steadily as it silently shattered. The other heart that had kept perfect time with his for decades had entered into eternity without him.
Why, God,
he moaned.
I was supposed to go before her.
Stop it. Annie's voice was so real in his head that he watched her lips to see if she might start breathing again.
I told you that there would be no mourning. We'll be together again before long. Remember when we were separated while you were in the military? You've got work to do now. So suck it up, Zedekiah, and call the girls.
They'd talked about this moment for 3 months and gotten all the pieces in order. Even though they'd argue about things sometimes, the plan was in place for the next step, as she called it. And now it was up to him to make sure that her wishes were carried out. But dear sweet Jesus, he'd never thought about the pain when he'd have to let her go for good. He laid her gently on the pillow, laced his darker fingers with her paler ones, and bent to kiss each knuckle.
Oh, Annie, life without you isn't life at all.
The girls will help,
the voice in his head said sweetly.
Now let me go, Zed. You've got things to do.
I can't,
he groaned. He sat with her for half an hour before he made the call to the doctor, who was also the coroner for the county. When they came to get her, he accompanied the gurney to the van with his hand on hers.
I understand that she made arrangements beforehand. Do you want to come to the funeral home and see her once more before?
The doctor hesitated. Zed shook his head slowly.
She said that I wasn't to do that, and I'll abide by her wishes. I can't say goodbye. Never could say that word to her and still can't. But we've come to terms while I waited on you to get here. Call me when our ashes are ready.
He choked on the last words. The doctor patted him on the shoulder.
I'm so sorry. She was a great lady and a good friend to you, Zed. My best friend.
He wiped his eyes.
We made a lot of memories. If you need anything, call me. Thank you. Right now, I have to go call the girls, and I'm sure not looking forward to that job. They should have been here.
Zed raked his hand through his curly salt-and-pepper hair.
She wouldn't let me call them. No tears, no fussing. That was Annie. Yep, it was.
The doctor nodded.
I'm so sorry, Zed. Thank you.
Zed watched the van until it was completely out of sight, waving the whole time, just like he did from the window of the bus that took him away all those years ago, when he joined the army to get away from Annie and her new husband. He'd thought he'd forget her, but distance and time did nothing to ease the pain of watching her marry his friend Seamus Clancy and wishing that he'd been born with white skin and blonde hair so he could marry his beautiful Annie. But the ache on that day was nothing compared to the one in his heart now, As the coroner's van disappeared while the sun rose over the bridge crossing the lake that morning. With every single mile, Harper's head pounded harder. She'd been driving the same old burnt orange truck 2 years ago when she came to the lake briefly on her way up to Oklahoma to work at one of the casinos just across the Red River. She hadn't spent a night on the property in 10 years, not since that summer that changed her whole life. Ever since then, a rock the size of a Buick landed in her chest every time she got near the lake. The boulder in her heart wasn't as big as what had been there the day she signed her daughter away, but it was still painful. She slowed down at the liquor store but didn't stop. Her sisters, Tawny and Dana, would judge her as it was. If she came in with a brown paper bag under her arm, they'd have a field day. First right-hand turn before the bridge, and there it was. 12 cabins, located behind the combination convenience store and cafe. Then, just a short distance from the cabins, was a small white 2-bedroom house. That's where Granny Annie lived, and where Harper and her 2 sisters had come to visit for a month every summer. But that all came to a screeching halt the summer before Harper's 16th birthday in August. Beer, bait, and baloney. That's what Granny Annie called her store. It did offer a little more than that, with bread and other snacks and a shelf of over-the-counter medicine like sunblock or sunburn lotion for those folks who forgot to bring those items with them. They also had milk and soft drinks in the refrigerator section, a big minnow tank and a special fridge to hold stink bait, plus 2 gas pumps out front to keep the boats as well as the cars and trucks all fueled up and ready to go. She could see each shelf in her mind's eye as she drove around the back of the store to the cafe entrance. Uncle Zed cooked up the best food in all of North Texas at the cafe, and Flora took care of the cleaning. 3 old folks had kept the place going for decades, and now one of them was gone. She parked her truck and leaned her head back, shutting her eyes. She'd made it. No spare tire and the gas tank, as well as her wallet, was empty. "On fumes and prayers," she whispered, as she inhaled the pungent aroma of the lake water along with the smell of freshly mown grass and the first roses of spring, all mixed together with cigarette smoke. Lakeside Resort, as the faded sign above the door proclaimed, had not changed a bit. Uncle Zed rounded the end of the porch and waved. His green eyes looked out of place in that ebony black skin. His curly hair, once black as coal and cropped short, now had a heavy mixture of white sprinkled in it, and was a little longer. But he would be at least 70 by now, maybe even 71 or 72. He and Harper's grandmother and late grandfather were all the same age. He still looked like he needed rocks in his pockets to keep a spring breeze from blowing him into the lake, but he'd always been a beanpole, and he'd always worn bibbed overalls. Some things didn't change with time. Thank God. A fresh wave of pain pounded through her head when she slid out of the seat and her feet hit the ground. "Morning, Uncle Zed." He wasn't really her uncle, but he'd been more like one, or maybe even a grandfather. He'd been far more than an employee at Annie's place, that's for sure. Dana, the oldest of the 3, had given him the uncle title, so Harper and Tawny followed suit. She'd vowed when she drained the last drop of whiskey from the bottle the night before that she was through crying, but seeing him brought on a fresh batch of tears. She grabbed him in a tight hug.
"What are we gonna do without her?"
"I don't know, but I'm glad you're here. We all need one another to lean on."
His voice was raspy as his tears mixed with hers. Smoke filled her nose, wiping out all the other scents. She backed up a step but kept a hand on his shoulder.
"Did she suffer?"
"No, darling. She was talking to me 1 minute and gone the next. The Lord took her quick."
He pulled a handkerchief from his hip pocket and wiped her cheeks and then his own.
"The others here?"
she asked.
"Dana and Brooke are in the house,"
Zed answered.
"Got here an hour ago. That Brooke is growing up in a hurry. You can sure tell that she's your niece. She reminds me of you when you were her age. Maybe not in looks, but in her attitude. Want me to take your things to one of the cabins?"
"I'll do it later if I decide to stay. Is Tawny coming?"
Harper asked. Zed folded the hanky and returned it to his pocket.
"She called last night and said she'd be here. Your granny has things set up to help you 3 Clancy sisters, and you shouldn't let her down."
She opened her mouth to tell him that she'd already let her grandmother down more than a decade before, but snapped it shut. Now wasn't the time to peel back the lid on that can of worms. This wasn't the day to start baring her soul, especially when she'd never told anyone. I'll do my best. Maybe I'll unload my things in the number one unit, she said.
That one is already booked. Fishermen are coming in tomorrow morning. I'll put you in number 12. It's closer to the house than the cafe anyway.
He glanced over into the back of the truck at all the boxes.
Looks to me like you come to stay whether you want to admit it or not.
Never could get anything past you, Uncle Zed, she smiled. The question is whether or not this is where I will land permanently. I can pack and be gone in an hour if it's not.
Well, we'll hope that you stick around here for more than an hour. My old bones can't run this place all by myself, and Flora is only staying on for a little longer. She wanted to leave at Christmas, but that's when...
He rolled his light-colored eyes toward the sky and finally got control.
She promised Annie she'd stick around long enough to get you girls in the groove of things. Now, drive this truck on around to cabin number 12. Back it up as close as you can get it to the front door and we'll get you unloaded.
The identical cabins were separated by enough space to park a vehicle. Yet years ago, Annie had planted a weeping willow tree between each cabin, so folks parked out front these days. The trees now reached the cabin roofs, and new feathery leaves were pushing winter out of the picture and welcoming spring. Painted white with different colored trim, each cabin had a tiny porch with a vintage metal lawn chair on the front. It seemed fitting that Harper would be staying in number 12, with its red trim and door and red chair on the front porch. It was her punishment for all those nights when she'd sneaked out of the house and met Wyatt in that very cabin. And red, well, that color did bring her sins home to haunt her. But Zed couldn't have chosen the cabin for those reasons. He had no idea what happened that summer. Maybe it was simply available for long term when the others weren't. She scolded herself for trying to analyze the whole thing. Zed was already opening the tailgate when Harper crawled out of her truck for the second time. He pulled a real key on a big fob with the number 12 embossed on it from the pocket of his overalls and tossed it toward her. She caught it in midair and stuck it in the lock, but couldn't make herself turn it. The tailgate squeaked as he got it completely down.
This thing needs some oil applied to it. What are you waiting on, girl, Christmas?
Maybe Easter. She tried to tease, but it fell flat.
Well, that's still 2 weeks away and the nights are cold. You'll get your death of the pneumonia if you sleep on the porch. Open that door.
He set two suitcases on the porch and went back for boxes. She sucked in so much air that her chest ached, and then let it out slowly as she unlocked the door. Drapes were open on the big back window overlooking tall pines, willows, and a few scrub oak trees. She crossed the floor and watched a bunny rabbit hop along the edge of the wooded area, and a couple of squirrels chase each other through the tree limbs. Birds flitted around singing songs about spring. Zed shoved the suitcases inside.
Lake living at its best. None of that cable television crap or Wi-Fi stuff either.
She turned around quickly. That's enough for you to lift and carry, Uncle Zed. I was wool gathering. I'll get the rest. Thank you for all you've done, especially being with Granny Annie in her last weeks. I'd have been here if you would have called.
She wouldn't let me, and you know how she could be once she set her mind to something.
The sigh that escaped from him sounded as if it came all the way from the depths of his soul.
It sure won't be the same without her.
Harper swallowed hard, but the lump in her throat refused to go down. I thought she'd live forever. She was my rock. She didn't want Zed to leave her alone in the cabin. Not yet. She needed just a few more minutes before the memories came flooding in like she knew they would.
She was everyone's rock, darling,
Zed whispered. She sat down on the edge of the bed. She told me more than once that you and my grandpa Seamus and she had always been great friends. I bet you could tell us all some stories. Zed eased down into a straight-back chair on the other side of the room.
Maybe someday. Only time I was ever away from her was those years I was in the army. She wrote me a letter every day when I was in Vietnam. I still got them all.
Harper laid her sunglasses on the bed. Never knew you was in Vietnam.
I don't talk about it much. I didn't like being away from my family. When I came home, Annie hired me to be the handyman, since my daddy passed away that year. It was 1966. I thought I'd stay in the army when I enlisted right out of high school, but that first six-year hitch was enough for me. I came home, and Seamus and Annie put me to work. Then, less than 2 years later, in 1968, my mama died, and I took over in the kitchen. Been cooking for almost 50 years now.
I don't ever remember you not being here, Harper said.
Of course you didn't. I remember the first time your daddy brought you here and me and Annie got to hold you. Lord, that was a wonderful day for sure.
A weak smile turned up his mouth.
I always liked it when you girls called me Uncle Zed. Y'all with your blonde hair and all.
Harper crossed the room and patted him on the shoulder. Sometimes blood ain't a bit thicker than water. You've been a wonderful friend and a great uncle. Zed laid a wrinkled hand on hers.
Thank you, child. Now, I'd best get on over to the cafe. I'm making hamburgers and fries for everyone to eat before the lawyer gets here. Tawny should be here by noon herself.
Please tell me that you won't leave until... Harper let the sentence trail off.
I'll leave when the undertaker takes my body away, or else when one of you girls fires me.
Zed rose up from the chair and grabbed his handkerchief to cover a wicked cough.
This here is my home, Harper. If I live until the end of next month, it'll be 72 years since I was born right out there in a little frame house.
He pointed toward the lake.
And I'll die here. I'll see you at noon, right?
I'd crawl through broken glass to get to one of your burgers, she smiled. Uncle Zed, that cough sounds serious. Have you seen a doctor?
Lots of times, my child. Me and Annie always went together. Every 3 months until she got the tumor. Then we went more often. Don't you worry your pretty head about me,
he said as he left the cabin. She threw a suitcase on the bed and shut her eyes. A vision of Wyatt wearing nothing but lipstick kiss marks on his face floated behind her eyelids. The only thing she had on was a cowboy hat, and he chased her around the bed until she finally let him catch her. Then they fell back on a god-awful green plaid bedspread and made that kind of wild love reserved only for teenagers with raging hormones. When she opened her eyes, she realized that the bed was now covered with a puffy white duvet. That thing wouldn't be nearly as much fun to wrap around her body and pretend that she was a medieval princess when Wyatt declared he was a knight in shining armor. Flora might be getting up in years, but she still knows how to make a room look nice, she mumbled as she made her way to the bathroom. She noticed that the television on top of the chest of drawers had been upgraded to a flat screen, but she'd be willing to bet it still only got 2 channels. Crossing the floor in a few long strides, she found the bathroom the same. She and Wyatt had taken lots of baths together in the old clawfoot tub. A picture of both of them on the floor with towels wiping up the water flashed into her mind. It was fun at the time, she muttered. The vanity looked new, but if it was, it had been ordered from the same place as the old one. Little soaps along with shampoo, conditioner, and hand lotion were placed in a basket with fancy folded white washcloths. Towels were rolled and stuffed into slots on a wall-hung cabinet. She turned away and groaned at the boxes stacked inside the door. If she unpacked and then couldn't get along with her 2 bitchy sisters, it would be a big waste of time. Finally, she decided to unload the suitcases and shove the boxes into the oversized closet, built originally to hold a fold-out twin bed for a child. When one side of the closet was filled, she set about hanging up her clothing. She packed in a hurry when Uncle Zed called to tell her that her grandmother had passed and that she should come prepared to stay a spell. Harper had always gone into a job with the attitude that she wouldn't take bullshit from anyone. This would be no different. Just because Dana was her smart half-sister and Tawny was her beautiful younger sister, it did not mean they could lord anything over her. Her attitude might have gotten her fired more than once from California to Texas and up into Oklahoma, but bartenders were always needed. If she couldn't get along with her 2 sisters for more than an hour, she might even drive a few miles up the road and apply for a job at that bar she'd passed.
That should tilt Tawny's halo. Hey, Mama, you sure you want to sleep in this room? Uncle Zed said that Granny Annie died in that bed.
Brooke shivered.
I'm very sure, she answered. I loved her so much that I hope her spirit visits me from time to time.
You do know that she was cremated, right?
Brooke's big brown eyes got wider with each word.
That was her body. Her spirit lives on in her granddaughter's.
Dana organized her jeans in the closet by dress, work, and almost worn completely out. Zed, God love his soul, had already emptied out Granny Annie's things from the room. Although she hadn't come around nearly enough, Dana had visited Granny Annie more often than the two legitimate granddaughters, so by damn she deserved the right to stay in the house. They could each pick out a cabin. That would keep the two snooty little princesses out of her hair while she tried to run this conglomeration of businesses. Dana's father, Gavin, wouldn't acknowledge that she was his child, but her Clancy blue eyes said differently. She was the bastard sister, the product of a wild night of drinking during her mother and father's senior year at a party on the lake. They'd won a basketball game against their rival team, and all the players were celebrating. Granny Annie had taken her in like the blood-kin granddaughter that she was, and made her a part of the family. And it had been Granny Annie who'd insisted that her mother put Gavin Clancy's name on the birth certificate and make her an official Clancy, even if her parents weren't married.
Cinderella and the two mean stepsisters, Brooke giggled.
The sometimes sisters, Dana said. That's what we called ourselves when we came to see Granny in the summertime.
I'm sure not Cinderella, and they are my half-sisters, not my stepsisters.
Okay, then, Brooke sighed.
But I'm glad you're staying in here and I get the room where we always slept when we came to visit. It's strange, her not being here.
Dana thought she'd cried until there were no more tears, but when she noticed that old, familiar quilt folded and lying across the foot of Granny's bed, the dam wouldn't hold. She sat down in the wooden rocker where she'd seen Granny rock both Harper and Tawny so many times and let the grief surface again. Brooke rushed over to her and cried with her, right on the floor in front of the chair.
We've got to stop this, Mama. This is going to wear us both out. Let's talk about something else, like where I'll be going to school.
Frankston. It's a public school. Dana dried Brooke's face with the sleeve of her knit shirt.
That little bitty town that we came through?
Brooke's voice squeaked on the last word.
It's where I went until I finished eighth grade. It didn't kill me to go there, and I don't expect that you'll suffer either.
Dana managed a weak smile.
Change is good. Remember that. You've got your own room, and we have a house instead of an efficiency apartment at the backside of the stables.
But, Mama, I've never gone to public school. I bet they don't even have uniforms,
Brooke groaned.
And you've made friends wherever we lived, Dana countered.
Maybe if things work out, you'll get to spend all of your high school years here.
I hope not,
Brooke exclaimed.
This is right on the edge of nowhere. Granny don't even have Wi-Fi, Mama.
Get used to it, kiddo. We could be here for a long time, Dana said.
Go unpack all your things and settle in. We're supposed to be at the cafe at noon. If we are lucky, we'll get to start running this business tomorrow. And be glad you get to go to school, because you could be cleaning cabins all day.
No!
Brooke's hands went to her cheeks.
You're kidding, right?
If you want a little paycheck like you got on the horse ranches, you'll work at whatever needs done around here weekends and in the summer. It'll probably be either cleaning rooms or else helping in the cafe. But it'll be work.
But I hate housework, Brooke groaned.
Think of it as a paycheck.
Another groan escaped her daughter as she left the bedroom and headed across the hallway to her own new room.
I hate dishes worse than any other housework, she called out.
Dana sniffed the air and couldn't pick up even a whiff of Granny Annie's trademark floral perfume. She drew in another long breath, but it was all gone. How could that be? There should be a little of it left in the house a couple of days later. She stuck her head inside the closet. Still nothing.
Are you about to sneeze or something?
Brooke asked from the doorway.
It seems strange to have this much space, Mama.
No, I was trying to get a little scent of Granny's perfume. I guess she stopped wearing it when she got sick, Dana answered.
You can't be unpacked this fast.
No, but I heard you sniffling and thought maybe you were going to cry again, and I can't let you do that alone. It's not what daughters do, Brooke said.
Well, thank you, darling, but I think I might be finished with the crying for a few hours.
Dana went to the window and pulled back the curtains. An older model orange truck sat in front of the cabin closest to the cafe. A tiny bit of pride shot up and whispered that if that was either Harper's or Tawny's vehicle, then the bastard child had done better than either of them. At least she drove a newer model club cab truck that didn't have rust spots around the bottom of the passenger door.
So what part of the business do you want to run, Mama?
Brooke asked. The store.
With that minnow smell? And having a touch of worms?
Dana nodded.
I'll do any of the jobs that Uncle Zed gives me, but that's the one I want.
Well, good luck.
Brooke went back to her room. Dana couldn't see the youngest sister, Tawny, dipping up minnows without gagging. Lord, she might break one of her fancy fingernails stocking shelves. That girl had always been spoiled. She might not even have time to leave her fancy college and come see Zed until summer. And Harper would kill the tiny fish with her breath if she was still throwing back booze like she was the last time Dana saw her. Had to have been 5 years since she showed up at Granny's for 10 minutes on Christmas Eve.
What are you going to do if your grandmother left the whole caboodle to Zed and Flora? God knows they've been loyal to her when you girls didn't have time to even call.
Dana hated it when she could hear her mother's voice in her head. Then I'll ask them if they'll hire me, she said without hesitation. The call from Zed couldn't have come at a better time for Tawny Clancy, the youngest of the three sisters. Her mother, Retha, had cut her off financially when she was kicked out of college back in December. She'd managed to keep herself afloat with a job in a coffee shop while she did her community service for drug possession, but picking up trash on the highway and working with the senior citizens on bingo night had ended a week ago. She had enough money to buy gas from Austin to Tyler and $100 to spare, but that was before she got a flat tire outside Centerville. She hadn't cried when she had to sleep in her car and wait for a tire repair shop to open the next morning. In fact, she vowed she wouldn't cry at all. But guilt and grief combined when she parked her car at the resort and realized that Granny wasn't there anymore. She laid her head on the steering wheel of her fancy little red Camaro and sobbed uncontrollably. She finally raised her head and checked her makeup in the rearview mirror. Before she could dig her kit out of her purse, Zed opened her door, and the tears started all over again. He opened up his bony arms and flashed a smile laced with sadness. Tawny slid out of the seat and laid her head on his chest.
Uncle Zed, this isn't happening. Please tell me I'm dreaming, she whispered.
Sorry, darling. It's real.
Why didn't she tell me?
Zed patted her on the back.
She never was one to worry her girls.
She took a step back and sniffed the air.
You're still smoking those unfiltered cigarettes, aren't you? Last time I was here, Granny was fussing at you about those things.
Man's gotta have a little vice.
He attempted to grin, but it didn't reach his eyes. He pulled a key with the number 7 on it from the bib pocket of his overalls.
I was taking a little smoke break before I get food on the table for y'all. It should be ready in about 15 minutes. This is for you.
Tawny took it and frowned.
I thought I'd be staying in the house.
You girls need your own space. You got all your stuff in that fancy car?
Back seat and trunk are full, she said. Which one will Harper and Dana stay in?
Dana and Brooke have the house. Harper is in number 12. Annie left instructions about where you all ought to stay. Drive on up to it and I'll help you unload,
Zed said.
She's still telling us what to do, is she?
Yep,
Zed nodded.
Nice, ain't it?
Why number 7?
Tawny asked. Zed shrugged.
Rest of them is going to be full come Friday night. I'd offer to help you unload, but I gotta get the food ready.
I'm glad you are still here, Uncle Zed, she said.
Ain't no place but here for me, girl. This is my home.
Harper drunk? Tawny asked.
Didn't appear to be. Maybe tired and a lot sad,
Zed answered.
Dana Bossy.
She comes by that honest enough through Annie. But mostly she was feeling bad that she hadn't been around in a while. Just like you're feeling. You staying out of trouble?
Trying to, Uncle Zed. But it seems to find me. I'm hoping this place might reform me. There ain't nothing to do out here except fish.
And work. And both of them are four-letter words.
Zed left with a wave of his bony hand.
I'll see all y'all in the cafe at 12 sharp. If you ain't there when I serve them up, then you can eat your burgers and fries cold.
I'll be there. That'll give me time to get my stuff out of the car. And thanks, Uncle Zed, for not putting me right next door to Harper.
Y'all need to be friends, not enemies,
Zed said.
Annie's biggest wish was that you'd be close family someday.
Ain't damn likely, Connie said as she got into her car and drove the short distance to her cabin. An older truck was parked in front of cabin number 12, and from where she was parked, she could see a crew cab pick up down by the house. So that's what Harper is driving these days. Looks like maybe Dana has been a little more prosperous, but then she's older.
Who are you to judge anyone after the trouble you've been in?
The voice in her head belonged to her granny for sure. It wasn't my fault, Tawny said out loud as she pulled into the spot in front of number 7. I told you about that rotten boy. I knew he was trouble when y'all stopped by here last summer. Pompous and egotistical and downright rude, but you wouldn't listen. So it was your fault. Now it was her mother's voice in her head. Well, now that's a first. Mama and Granny agreeing on anything might bring on a tornado right here on the lake. Tawny checked the skies, but there wasn't even a white fluffy cloud up there in all the clear blue. She stepped out of the car and unlocked the cabin door. Twin beds, she groaned. Granted, the cabin was bigger than the one-room apartment that she'd had in Austin, and either of the beds would be better than the lumpy mattress she'd slept on the past 3 months, but she'd hoped that she'd get a unit with a queen or king-size bed. I guess beggars can't be choosers, right, Granny? You used to tell us that all the time when we were kids. She choked up, and her lower lip and chin quivered. Why, oh why, hadn't she made time to come see her grandmother in the last 3 months? Leaving the suitcases and boxes inside the door, she headed to the cafe. A strong wind whipped her long, honey-blonde hair around in her face, so she worked a ponytail holder up from the pocket of her skinny jeans. By the time she had her hair pulled up, she'd reached the door but couldn't force herself to go inside, so she sat down on the bench. Lake water mixed with a stronger minnow smell floated on the wind, but it didn't overpower the aroma of grilled onions coming out of the cafe. Bless Zed's heart. He had to be heartbroken. He and Granny had been friends their whole lives, and instead of the sisters taking care of him, he was in there cooking for them. If he could do that, then she could damn sure face Dana and Harper. With new courage, she popped up off the bench and ducked inside, only to find the dining area completely empty. A dozen tables were arranged with 4 to 6 chairs around each one, just like they'd always been. The only difference was one covered with a white cloth that had been pushed into a corner. It was laden with desserts of all kinds.
Have a seat anywhere.
Zed stuck his head through the serving window between the dining room and the kitchen.
Dinner's almost ready. The ladies of the church brought all them desserts to you girls. Don't know why. Annie hadn't set foot in that place in more than 30 years. Maybe they're trying to get rid of the guilt they've been carrying around about the way they treated her. But that's between them and their God.
Chocolate cake sure looks good, Tawny said. What guilt?
Whole bunch of them was ugly when your grandpa died,
Zed answered.
Don't you be eating one bite until you finish your real food.
He shook his finger at her and set a platter with 8 big burgers on the serving ledge and followed it with another of tomatoes, lettuce, and pickles.
You take that on out to one of the tables. I'll bring the French fries. Reckon you can go on and eat. I told everyone 12 sharp and... Well, now, there's Harper, and I believe that would be Dana and Brooke right behind her.
Harper pulled off her sunglasses, and a quick glance around the cafe let her know that nothing had changed in that area. The menu was above the counter where Flora usually took orders until right after the lunch rush, if there was one. Burgers, hot dogs, fries, and the daily blue plate special. Mainly good old-fashioned home cooking that folks came from miles around to get. Harper suddenly wished it was Friday, because that was the day that Zed made his famous pot roast and hot rolls.
And on Sunday, he always made chicken and dressing, cranberry sauce from scratch, mashed potatoes and gravy, and corn on the cob. That day drew folks in by the droves, and there was always a long line. Chrome tables with yellow tops could seat 4 to 6 people or be pushed together for a bigger crowd. Napkin dispensers, salt and pepper shakers, and a bowl of small packets of sugar and sweeteners were arranged in the middle of the tables. Chairs used to match the tables, but they'd been recently recovered in shiny red plastic. Black and white tile covered the floor and was so shiny that Harper wouldn't have had a problem eating off it.
"Hamburgers smell amazing. Why'd you make all these desserts?" Harper asked.
"Done told Tawny. She can explain it to you,"
Zed answered as he headed back into the kitchen. She whipped around to see Tawny on the other side of the room. The precious daughter who did no wrong, according to their mother, looked like hell. Tawny's blonde hair, usually perfectly styled, with not a long curl out of place, was pulled up in a ponytail, and her eyes looked like she hadn't slept well in weeks.
"What are you staring at?" Tawny snapped.
"Not much."
Harper turned away from her younger sister at the same time that Dana and Brooke pushed their way through the door and sat down at the table where the food waited.
"What's going on with the dessert table?"
Dana asked.
"Evidently Tawny knows."
Harper sat down across from Dana.
"Did you make all that, Aunt Tawny?"
Brooke asked.
"Hmph,"
Harper snorted.
"If she tried to boil water, she'd burn down the whole house. The kitchen is as foreign to her as..."
"Being sober is to you,"
Tawny smarted off as she crossed the room and settled into the fourth chair.
"Put the claws away."
Zed brought a basket of sweet potato fries to the table.
"Or I'll walk right out of here for good."
Dana gasped. Tawny's eyes got wide. Harper laid down her burger and touched his arm.
"Please don't do that. We'd be lost without you, Uncle Zed."
"The church ladies brought the desserts. Evidently they did something to upset Granny Annie a long time ago, and they're feeling guilty,"
Tawny explained.
"I wish they'd ride that guilt trip for a week or two,"
Brooke laughed.
"That stuff over there looks epic."
"Epic?"
Harper asked and then bit into a burger.
"It's the new awesome or fabulous," Dana explained. "I thought everything was dope these days. That's what I'm used to hearing the college kids saying."
Harper raised her voice.
"Uncle Zed, these are epic, dope, and fabulous. Come on out here and eat with us."
"No, I'll just take my meal in the kitchen where I can watch the ribs I got cooking for supper,"
he yelled back.
"Y'all go on and clean up that food, and then you can get into them cakes and pies. The lawyer will be here at 1:30.
"Yes, sir,"
Brooke said seriously.
"So is that old truck yours, Aunt Harper?"
"Yes."
She piled lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles on her burger.
"It's been a long time since I saw you, but I think you were driving that truck then, and I was just a little kid,"
Brooke said.
"I've been driving it for a long time. Little kid, huh? What are you now, 21?
Brooke giggled.
"I'm 14. What kind of job have you been doing?"
"I worked as a bartender in one of the college honky-tonks up in Oklahoma this last time, and lots of other bars before that,"
Harper told her.
"Figures,"
Tawny said under her breath.
"What? That I work in a bar or that it's in Oklahoma?"
Harper asked.
"Both,"
Tawny said.
"Stop it,"
Zed said.
"Y'all ain't been together here in nigh on to 10 years. I ain't having you upset Annie with your bickering."
"Uncle Zed, Granny Annie's gone,"
Brooke said softly.
"Honey, her body is gone. But her spirit is still here among us, so these three best be a little more civil to each other,"
Zed scolded.
"I guess we can put up a front for him,"
Dana whispered.
"Y'all need to remember that he's lost his best friend,"
Brooke said.
"And he don't need a lot of arguing. What's it between y'all anyway that you can't get along?"
"Long story," Harper said.
"Y'all here to stay?"
Tawny looked up at her two sisters and niece.
"You?"
Harper asked. Dana glanced across the table.
"It will all depend on what the lawyer says. If Granny Annie left the whole place to Uncle Zed, I'm going to beg him for a job."
Zed brought out a pitcher full of sweet tea and set it in the middle of the table.
"I don't imagine you'll have to beg."
Harper refilled her glass and passed the pitcher to Tawny, who had always been the prettiest of the three. Petite and curvy, she had the lightest hair and those delicate features that made men follow around behind her like a little puppy dog. Surely she wouldn't be leaving her fancy sorority her last year at the university to work at Annie's place and live in a cabin on the lake. A bit of an old song played through Harper's head. The lyrics talked about three friends and said that one was pretty, one was smart, and one was the borderline fool. Dana was smart. Tawny was pretty. That only left the latter for Harper to lay claim to, and with her past mistakes, it kind of fit her well. Besides, she'd always felt like a big old sunflower among the bed of cute little miniature roses that were her sister's. Standing at just under 6 feet, she had what her mother called dishwater blonde hair and light brown eyes. And she sure turned out to be the biggest disappointment of the three women around the table. Hopefully Brooke would get Dana's smarts, her Aunt Tawny's beauty, and not an ounce from the borderline fool. Yet Tawny's rough hands and nails hadn't seen lotion nor polish in weeks. Those were not the hands of a sorority sister. They'd seen hard work. And where were her signature high-heeled shoes? When Harper saw her 3 years ago, she wouldn't have been caught dead in those cheap athletic things on her feet. Just what exactly had her younger sister been doing the past year?
Like Dana says, it depends on what the will says. I'm staying if she left this place to us, at least until the end of summer. If she didn't, then...
Tawny shrugged.
You gonna use this place for a rehab center to get sober, Harper?
Nah, I thought I'd turn it into a brothel.
Harper smarted off.
We could get us 10 girls to work the cabins and...
Dana's finger shot across the table.
That's enough. Brooke is sitting right here. And I know what a brothel is, and it sounds like a money-making idea to me,
Brooke said with a gleam in her brown eyes.
Have y'all always hated each other?
Harper grinned.
We are the poster children for real-life sisters. All that crap about blood kin loving each other is a crock of bullshit. We learned a long time ago that we don't even like each other. But we managed to tolerate one another for a few weeks each summer for Granny's sake.
I'm glad I don't have a sister, Brooke declared.
You are one blessed little girl.
Harper nodded, meaning every word. Amen, Dana and Tawny said in unison. Chapter 2
Good afternoon, ladies. I am John Thompson of the law firm Thompson, Thompson & Clary.
The lawyer said as he entered the cafe. Evidently, when folks came to the lake, they didn't feel the need for three-piece suits and wingtips. The lawyer was a short man with a rim of brown hair around an otherwise bald head, giving him the look of a monk. The wire-rimmed glasses framed his baby face, and a brown cardigan sweater topped a light blue shirt and khaki trousers. He hadn't bothered with a tie. His cowboy boots had a nice high walking heel, though giving credence to the fact that he most likely had SMS, short man's syndrome. Harper rose up from her chair and stuck out a hand.
I'm Harper Clancy, and this is Tawny, and that's Dana and her daughter Brooke. Have you had lunch? Zed makes a mean burger.
I've eaten, thank you.
He had to look up to meet Harper's eyes, and he quickly dropped her hand after a quick shake.
Maybe we can get right down to business. It's nice to meet you all. Ms. Joanna. I suppose y'all call her Annie, but on the will it's her legal name, Joanna Clancy. Anyway, she spoke well of each of you.
Harper slid back into her chair. Food had helped the headache, and the pecan pie had been wonderful. But she hoped he didn't take forever reading a bunch of legal jargon, because the banana pudding over there on the dessert table was calling her name. He opened his briefcase, but he didn't sit down.
I have a copy of the actual will for each of you. But she also asked me to read this letter. It basically explains everything. A copy of the letter is also in the packet with the will and a copy of her death certificate for each granddaughter.
He straightened up, making himself as tall as possible, shook out the folded letter with a bit of pompous attitude, and began to read.
If John is reading this to y'all, then I'm dead and my ashes are already in Zed's care. Don't worry. When he's joined me in eternity, you'll understand why he's taking care of them. I wanted to leave everything to him, but he wouldn't have it. He said that you girls should share the resort, since you are my blood kin. So here's the deal. The resort is yours, but it cannot be sold.
It's to be passed down to your children, and I'd like to keep it up and going as long as possible. So if you choose not to take your share, then you are free to walk away with nothing. If you stay, then every Friday, you will have a paycheck for your hard work. At the end of the year, the remaining profits will be shared between the three of you and Zed. Dana will manage the convenience store. She knows more about running the store than you other two, because she's been around it more. Tawny will take care of the books and the business end of things like payroll and insurance and taxes. I've done that for years, but she studied it in college. Zed will help her get set up with my computer. Harper, you are going to be in the kitchen with Zed, and that will free up Flora's time to clean the cabins. You are all responsible for keeping your own living quarters tidied up, whether you live in a cabin or the house. Flora is not going to pick up after a single one of you, and as soon as you are comfortable with the new arrangement, I feel sure she will retire. Harper groaned. She didn't want to do cafe work, but Granny Annie had promised a nice paycheck, and working with Uncle Zed wouldn't be nearly as tough as some of the bosses she'd had in the past. She glanced over at Tawny, who had a smug expression on her cute little round face. Dana looked like she was relieved that she had been given the control of the store.
Questions?
John asked. Harper shook her head. Sounds pretty straightforward to me. I'll be sticking around for a while anyway. John went on.
Brooke will work weekends doing whatever needs done. Since someday this place might fall into her hands, she needs to know the operation and all its stages. Don't whine, Brooke. If you want a paycheck, you have to work for it. Food is free in the cafe. Y'all will have to pay for what you take out of the store, including beer.
Harper threw up her palms defensively when she realized everyone else was staring at her.
Don't give me those hateful looks. I don't even like beer.
I like beer.
A big smile lit up Brooke's face.
When? What? How?
Dana stammered.
I tasted yours when you weren't looking back when I was about 6, and I liked it,
Brooke said. John cleared his throat and looked over the top of his glasses at them.
Shall I go on?
Yes, please, Tawny said with a sideways glance at Harper.
Zed and Flora will keep their jobs and their paychecks will continue. Tawny will find all that in the computer program, plus what y'all will be paid. I hate all this newfangled technology, but in order to keep the cabins full, we need to have it so they can book rooms online.
Wi-Fi after all!
Brooke pumped a fist in the air.
No, ma'am. The internet will only be available in one cabin, and that's where the business computer is,
Zed said from the serving window.
She was adamant about that.
John checked his watch.
I'll go on now.
He found his place and continued.
I've set it all up fairly. Tawny will also take care of reservations, checkouts, and rents on the cabins. When Zed goes, John will give each of you another letter. I remember when one of you said the only time you saw Dana was when you came to the lake for a while in the summer, that you were sometime sisters. Here's your chance to be more than that. Either live in harmony or get on down the road. It's your choice. I love each of you. You've been a delight to my heart and soul. No tears or mourning. I want you to be happy and live every day as if it were your last. That's what I've done for many years, and I'm leaving with no regrets for any of the decisions I've made.
John folded the letter and laid 3 bright red folders on the table.
These are your copies of the will. Your names are on the front. My work here is done until such time as Zed passes. Good day, ladies.
He snapped his briefcase shut, picked it up, and left without another word.
Y'all really sticking around?
Tawny wiped the tears from her eyes.
Brooke and I are,
Dana answered.
Harper?
Might as well. She said no tears. Harper picked up a paper napkin and dabbed her eyes. Dana and Tawny both nodded and bent forward in sobs anyway. Brooke hugged her mother and cried with her, but not a single one of the sisters consoled the other. Zed came from the kitchen, hugged each of them and wiped their faces with his white handkerchief that smelled like smoke.
She didn't want this, girls. She made me promise not to weep over her ashes. It's the only promise that I made to her that I can't keep.
I should have come more often,
Dana said.
Me too,
Tawny and Harper said in unison.
Past is past. That's what she'd say if she was here right now with us. Present is what matters and futures is what we look forward to. Now, if y'all are staying, you need to get settled in and ready for work that's starting in the morning.
Why didn't you come out here with us? Dana asked.
Didn't need to. I helped Annie make up that will and I knew what was in it. Here's the keys to the store, Dana.
He handed off a ring with two keys on it.
You go on and reacquaint yourself with the place. The bait man comes tomorrow before noon, and there's a list tacked beside the cash register about when the other deliveries are made.
Dana took it from him.
Thank you again. It's not enough for what you've done, but I mean it.
Zed nodded, but his eyes were swimming in tears.
Annie was my best friend. I already miss her, and I don't expect that time is going to do a damn thing to help it either.
Dana quickly stood up and hugged him. Zed inhaled and let it out slowly.
Tawny, you need to go get your cabin straightened up. Your granny had it all set up for computer stuff so you can take care of the books.
Why no Wi-Fi?
Brooke asked.
Annie said when people come here, it's to get away from all that machinery stuff,
Zed said.
I'll be bringing the computer and printer and all that out there along with the desk to your cabin, Tawny, as soon as I clean up the kitchen.
Harper looked up at him. And me?
You got the afternoon to unpack. Then you'll be helping me right here every day starting at 5 o'clock in the morning. We open the doors at 6 and serve breakfast until 10. After that, it's just burgers and hot dogs and whatever the blue plate special is for dinner. If there's any of the special left, they can have it for supper. If not, then it's burgers until 7, when we close the doors,
Zed said. Do we get to run a bill in the store? Harper asked.
Yep, but Tawny will deduct every penny from your paycheck,
Zed said.
And who is going to keep her honest? What if she skims from the funds or charges us double for what we take out of the store?
Harper asked.
Books go to a CPA each quarter so we can pay the taxes for that time period,
Zed said.
If there's a penny that can't be accounted for, he'll let me know.
And you'll be fired.
Harper pointed at Tawny.
What are you doing here anyway? Don't you have another year of college? Or is it 10 more? When do they make you leave that fancy sorority house?
Tawny had had enough of Harper's smart mouth. She rose up out of her chair and leaned across the table.
I haven't been in college since December. I quit, and I've been working in a coffee shop, doing double shifts when I can to pay the rent on a rundown apartment that I was sharing with two other girls. This job will be a huge step up for me. And for your information, I hated being poor and not knowing if I was going to have enough money to buy enough food until the next payday.
What happened? Dana gasped.
Holy crap! What did you do to make Mama mad enough to cut you off?
Harper talked over her. Tawny pushed back her chair and headed to the dessert table.
That would be my business and none of either of y'all's. I'm taking these brownies to the cabin with me. Anyone got a problem with that?
Not if I can have the whole banana pudding,
Harper answered.
I want the chocolate cake,
Brooke said. With shaking hands, Tawny picked up the pan of brownies and the folder with her name on it and left the cafe. By the time she reached her cabin, her cheeks were wet again with tears, only this time they were born of anger, not grief. She had a job, a place to live that beat the hell out of the apartment she'd lived in for the past 3 months, and food to eat 3 times a day. She set the brownies on top of the microfridge in the corner and tossed the folder on one of the twin beds. Falling face forward into the other one, she buried her face in a pillow so that no one could hear her cussing so much that it would blister the paint right off the walls. Damn that Harper for pushing her to the limits like that. Worn out from emotion, she fell asleep and didn't wake until she heard a gentle knock on the door.
Who is it?
She yelled.
It's me, Zed. I've got all this computer stuff ready for you to set up.
She bounced off the bed, grabbed a washcloth from the bathroom, and quickly ran it over her face before she answered the door.
Holy smoke, Uncle Zed! What is all that? I was expecting a laptop.
The back of his old pickup truck was loaded with a desk, a desktop computer, a file cabinet, and boxes with dates marked on the ends.
It's the office. These past few years, she kept it all in the corner of my little place at the back of the store. I'm glad to get it out of there, because she spent most of the time cussing the machinery when she had to deal with it. I need help bringing the desk in. Harper helped me load it, but she's getting the dining room ready for tomorrow right now, and the file cabinets are full of what Annie called hard copy. I reckon you'll learn a lot when you go through it.
Tawny got a firm grip on one end of an old oak desk.
Did this thing come over here on the Mayflower?
No, honey, but they used the wood from the Mayflower to build it.
Zed's weak smile was a welcome sight for Tawny's red eyes.
It actually come out of the little country school that's out there in the middle of the lake these days. Not long before they dammed up the Neches River to make it. They had a big sale at the school. Annie's mama bought it and the office chair because they knew they were going to build this place. When Annie got the computer, I fixed a slide-out drawer for the keyboard. She was about your height, so it should be a comfortable fit.
Where are we putting it? Tawny asked as they maneuvered it through the door.
Here by the door. That's where she put the special phone line in for the internet stuff of this whole operation.
Zed answered. Dial-up is so slow, Tawny groaned.
Don't know nothing about that. Just know that Annie didn't want no Wi-Fi crap out here because it ruins her idea of getting away from it all. That phone line is for the computer. Your regular phone is over there. Folks that bring cell phones can't get no reception, so they have to use the plain old telephones in their rooms for whatever they want. Most of them bring charge cards if they want to call home,
Zed said on his way out the door to get the chair.
Come on, girl. This stuff ain't gonna unload itself. You gotta run an office out of this room tomorrow morning. That means the folks check in and out through here.
That also means I have to keep it clean, I suppose. She groaned again.
Exactly.
Zed grinned.
You've got the cushiest job in the business, so you need a little responsibility. I'll be bringing you all the receipts from the cafe, and Dana will close out each day and bring you a money bag. You'll take care of it all and put any cash in the safe that's in your closet over there. Annie did it that way, too. Then on Saturday morning, before noon, you take a deposit to the bank in Tyler.
Y'all got things all planned out to the letter. Was she sick a long time? Zed shook his head.
3 months from the time the doctor said she had a brain tumor. He wanted to do some chemo and radiation, but she said 3 months was enough time to get her affairs in order, and she wasn't dying with no hair on her head.
Why didn't you call us? Tawny whispered.
Wanted to. She said y'all had your own lives to live. Now let's get things done so I can get back to the cafe. Don't want y'all's supper to burn up,
he said. Despite what Zed implied, Dana was fairly familiar with the convenience store. She'd been to see her grandmother more than the other two sisters through the years, but not as often as she should have, or she wouldn't feel so guilty when she stopped into the store and caught a whiff of the minnow tank and the slight smell of smoke coming from the back room where Zed lived. She'd been the only grandchild for 10 years. She'd been excited the first summer that Harper came to the resort. She had a sister, a baby, to play with. Then a couple of years later, they added Tawny, and, in her young ignorance, she thought they were a family. Dana had only seen her father's wife, Retha, twice. Both times, it had been when Retha brought the younger sisters to the lake for their month in the summer. The woman had looked at Dana like she was less than the dirt on the bottom of her fancy shoes, and Dana had learned early on to steer clear of Retha Harper Clancy. Anger filled her heart when she thought of anyone ever making Brooke feel that way. And then it was suddenly replaced with sadness when she envisioned her grandmother standing behind that cash register for so many years.
What's going on with Harper and Tawny and you? I don't remember much about them except that they always played with me and made me laugh. But y'all act like you hate each other, Brooke asked as she checked out the place.
Dana quickly wiped her eyes and pasted on a smile.
Hate is a strong word. Maybe dislike is better. Or indifferent is even better than that. They have a different mama than I do, and I'm quite a bit older than they are. It's always been a little crazy, Dana said. I think we've seen enough of the store. You ready to go to the house?
I'd rather go back to the kitchen and snatch that chocolate cake. I was serious about wanting to take it home. That's the best icing I've ever eaten, Brooke said.
Dana inhaled deeply.
Granny Annie and Zed had been family. The two sisters, they were related to Dana by blood, but not much else other than snatches of memories. Some of them good, some not.